In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray
for us. Father Lanteri,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius of Loyola,
pray for us.
The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and decay destroy, and thieves break in and steal. But store up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor decay destroys, nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be." The Gospel of the Lord. One of the greatest Catholic mystics who lived many years ago, her name was Saint Gertrude the Great. Very rarely do we have a church that has the title of a woman who's not also known as great. And Saint Gertrude the Great was a German mystic and intellectual who wrote the classic Herald of Divine Love, and the church offers indulgences for reading that classical text in mystical spiritual theology. Not only was St. Gertrude the Great a great mystic and writer, but also she was a visionary. And one of the visions that she had that I like most was she saw Jesus was in heaven, and there was a large pile of golden coins. And he was just placing another golden coin on the top of the pile. And she asked Jesus, what was that gesture of another golden coin and the whole pile of golden coins? And she just finished praying a slowly meditated Hail Mary. He said to her, every time you pray the Hail Mary, with love and devotion, I'm placing another golden coin for you in heaven. I think that that's very much related to the gospel that I just read. Where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. So our treasure will be great in heaven if we learn how to pray well. If we learn how to pray well, we pray with fervor and devotion, we will have our treasures in heaven. So that's the brief biblical meditation I'll give you for this evening, that we try to not only pray more, but also pray better. We give more time to prayer, but also we try to pray with greater fervor. Okay, a brief summary of last week. We read number 153. Where St. Faustina has a vision of a marked contrast. She sees one road that is leading to hell, the other one is leading to heaven. The one that's leading to hell is a road in which people are dancing, they're eating, they're drinking, they're partying, they're living it up. And the thing that really struck me most is that they're doing this and they're heading toward a precipice in which they fall from the precipice into a pit of fire. And that pit of fire, that pit is hell. They're taken almost as if they're taken off guard. The other is people that are climbing a steep hill. It's rocky. It's thorny. They're falling. They're cutting themselves. They're getting up. And they're struggling. And then at the very end of that climb, they find themselves in this beautiful garden with roses and flowers and singing and song. And as soon as they arrive, they forget all of the sufferings they had in life. And that's heaven. That, I think, is one of the best literary depictions of the contrast of heaven and hell I've ever read. It wouldn't be a bad idea if we could actually incorporate this in the spiritual exercises, no? On the death, judgment, heaven, and hell. I would glean three truths from that. That those who are living on the fast lane, they can easily be caught off guard and fall from that precipice into the pit of hell. Very easily. They're almost as if they're taken off guard. Second is that we all have to carry our cross. When we fall, we should try to get up as quickly as possible as we have in that number. And then as soon as we make it to heaven, all the sufferings that we've gone through, they're forgotten. We're going to be with God in heaven forever and ever and ever. It's a great passage. So you might revisit that and try to meditate upon that and go deeper in depth in that. So let's move to 154. Number 154. I'd like to just read this slowly and intervene and shed light upon this passage, which all these passages are just dense with spiritual content. Okay, once when there was adoration at the convent of the Sisters of the Holy Family. Okay, and comment on that. When you make your holy hour, don't forget that one expression of prayer is that of adoration. It's probably the type of prayer that we do least, because it does not come natural to us, adoration. What comes natural to us is petition or supplication, in which we're begging the Lord for graces that we need in the physical, emotional, family life. That comes natural to us, to ask. And Jesus even says, ask and you'll receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. But adoration doesn't come natural to us. So, maybe many of us who have really never really spent time adoring God, but get in the habit of learning how to do that. Okay? With your permission, I'll give you some suggestions. Okay, the Psalms. There are Psalms that are directed specifically to adoration. And if you want a few, Psalm 148 149 and 150 are psalms of adoration. Second would be, at the end of adoration of your holy hour, after we give you the benediction, we pray what are called the divine praises. Blessed be God. Blessed be His holy name. Blessed be Jesus Christ, true God and true man. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be His most sacred heart. Okay, those are divine praises. Okay. The glory be is a prayer of praise. And also the holy sacrifice of the Mass has as its primary purpose to praise God the Father by the offering of God the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I've given you some suggestions on ways in which you can augment, fortify, and permeate your prayer life with some elements of adoration. One last suggestion might be to pray to the cherubim and the seraphim. Probably none of you have ever done that yet, but I would say that you maybe learn how to pray to the cherubim and the seraphim. Cherubim and the seraphim are the highest choirs of angels. Thomas Aquinas divides the angels into different choirs. The lowest ones, the angels and archangels, are dedicated to help things that are going on with us in the world. The middle ones are those who are dedicated to the organization of the stars and the universe in which we live. So the thrones and the dominions and the virtues and the powers are dedicated to the order of the universe. But the highest would be those who are dedicated to praising God. And those would be the seraphim and the cherubim. What are they doing? They're constantly praising God for all eternity in heaven. They are contemplating the beatific vision and praising the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So add that to your holy hour, some elements of praise. It's not natural. It's not natural. We have to learn how to praise God. We have to be trained in it. That's why I'm teaching you now. It doesn't come natural, no? I find for me the easiest prayer is thanksgiving, but that's me. I just find it so easy to thank God because I'm keenly aware of the many gifts that God has given to me. I find that that's almost natural. But I was brought up and raised in a family where we learn how to thank. No? Most people are not today. No? But adoration should also be part and parcel of our life of prayer. Okay? So remember those four or five suggestions, and you might try to implement it tomorrow when you're doing your holy hour. No? Okay, so she's adoration of the convent of the Sisters of the Holy Family. So apparently she's given permission to go to another chapel of another religious community, and they're the Holy Family Sisters of Poland. I don't know too much about them, maybe you do. But she goes to their convent for the purpose of adoration. That means for us, wherever we go to a city, it's a good idea to find out where are the adoration chapels. I'm going to say something that's going to make you laugh. I lived in Philadelphia for 5 years. And you have an adoration chapel of the Pink Sisters on Green Street, okay? Have any of you ever been to Philadelphia?
No.
None of you? Okay, you got downtown Philadelphia, you have a street that's called Green Street. But you actually have these sisters, they're called the Pink Sisters on Green Street. They call the Pink Sisters because when I went to Villanova, my spiritual director, we would go there sometimes Friday night and Saturday night, make a holy hour there, and you'd hear a bell ringing, and you see these two Pink Sisters kneeling in front of the Blessed Sacrament. They'd be changing guards. It was cool, no? They'd be doing that around the clock. Do they still do it now? I don't know. They may not have enough vocations, but back in 1974, 75, there were vocations, no? At least in Philly. No? So wherever you go in the city, try to find out where was the Adoration Chapel and make a visit. You can't spend an hour, at least visit, make a short visit, no? Remember the poem. Whenever I see a church, I stop to make a visit so that when I die, the Lord will not say, who is it? Okay. I thought you'd like that one, huh? As soon as I enter the chapel, the presence of God filled my soul. There's a lot in that. As soon as I entered the chapel, the presence of God filled my soul. Someone who is open to God, when they're in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, it radiates grace. You become like a sponge. True. Here you got a very holy woman, very holy nun. She goes there and it's like the sun rays, she's absorbing them like in black silk. At 4 o'clock, I gave an hour talk to my catechetical parents on the image of divine mercy. And I told them, as I drew close to the big image in the catechetical building, as I drew close to the image, I was receiving blessings. Why? Because Jesus promised those who venerate this image will receive blessings. So I was getting close, and Jesus was blessing me through that image. I think they're kind of shocked at that. Well, a lot of it depends on faith. I believe it. I believe it, and it happened. Jesus promises those who honor, I spent 2 weeks ago, I spent a long hour explaining the image to you people, right? Remember? Long detailed description of the artistic interpretation of every element of that image. So if you get close to the image of divine mercy and you're blessed, what about drawing close to the Blessed Sacrament? Wow. Light years difference, huh? How we take it for granted, no? Easy to take it for granted. As a poet says, in the absence of the loved one, one loves. In the absence of the loved one, you appreciate the love more when you are able to see the loved one after a long absence. No? If it were so difficult for you to have an encounter with the Eucharistic presence, you would appreciate it all the more. But we make it so easy for you, right? Okay, so we take the Lord for granted. We do. But if you had to climb over bridges and surmount dangerous mountains and cross through fords and marshes and dikes and place your life in jeopardy to be able to encounter the Lord, you probably appreciate a little bit more. What we have to do, we come in our car, we're drinking our Coca-Cola, listening to music with the air conditioning on. So we don't appreciate it because there's no real effort or sacrifice for us to encounter Eucharistic. There's no sacrifice. There's no sacrifice involved. We don't appreciate. I went there in the evening. I guess it jumped over for you. I went there in the evening with one of our sisters. So with one of the sisters, Jesus said, "Where two or more gathered in my name, I am there in the midst." The importance of praying for each other. I'll be honest with you, I pray the rosary, but I prefer to pray it with others. For a couple reasons. Last night we went to Yorba Linda. I was with Eric and Mary. We prayed the rosary, right, Eric? How many? How many, Mary? So we prayed three rosaries from St. Peter's Snow to Yorba Linda. And Mary finished. Mary was late, and I said, "Hey, pray for the Pope," and we prayed the Angelus, and I prayed about 10 different saints. No, right into St. Martin. St. Martin, right? St. Louis de Montfort says, you receive the graces of the person most fervent when you're praying the rosary. And also, when you're praying the rosary with others, you only pray half of it. Yeah? Right? You only say part of it. So in a certain sense, it's easier than praying the whole rosary because you have to say all the words, right? Well, you're praying it in a group, you're only praying the first part of the second part. No? I'm not saying it's a lazy man's out, no, but it's less laborious for me. But the importance of community prayer. Husbands should pray with their wives. Wives should pray with their husbands, right? Very common that the machos will say, "Oh, I pray by myself. I don't want to pray with you." I don't think that's wise. I think it's dangerous. It's called the domestic church. Family that stays together, prays together, stays together, right?
Yes.
Yeah? Remember when it's in Italy, they would say at times, you know, the husband would say, "Well, I don't go to my mass. My wife goes for me." No. It's not the way it works, no? Especially in southern Naples and Palermo, right? No? Yeah. So as soon as I entered the chapel, the presence of God filled my soul. I prayed, as I do, at certain times, without saying a word. There's a lot in that. So you can pray vocal prayers, but you can pray without vocalizing words. Do any of you know the most famous definition of prayer, which is found in the Catechism of the Catholic Church by the Eastern Doctor of the Church? His name is St. John Damascene. Grace, say it. Don't remember? It's in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I think it's on the tip of the tongue of Elvira. She's got it, right? It's prayer is elevating your mind and your heart to God. That's the definition of St. John Damascene. So if you're lifting up your mind to God, you're purposely lifting up your mind to God, you're praying. It's called mental prayer. It's called meditation. It's called discursive reasoning. No, you're thinking about God. You lift up your mind and your heart to God. So prayer is not simply vocal, but prayer is also the mind and the heart. Okay, it's happened to you people. that you're making your holy hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You don't want to say words, but your heart is just loving God in silence. Ever happen? It happened to me. Or your heart is saying thank. Your heart is expressing gratitude to God, but there's no vocal words. Hello? If you're growing in your spiritual life, and you've been with us for many years, you should have already experienced that, maybe not every time, where there's a kind of yearning, a longing for God, a love for God, a desire to be with God. You experience that. You're not saying words, but the heart. Psalm 42, which is, as a deer yearns for the running stream, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. Yeah. Now, we've got, it's a short number, but it's very powerful. And when I read that this morning, it caused within me fear. Because I read it, I try to apply it to myself. Do you? You should. You say, well, that was Faustina. She lived back there in Poland in the 1920s and 30s. That had nothing to do with me. Don't do that. Try to connect it to yourself. I think once I read this, all of us are going to have a little bit of a wholesome fear of the Lord. A wholesome fear of the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord makes us humble and it motivates us to be docile to God. Wholesome fear, not a paralyzing fear, but a fear which is motivated by the Holy Spirit, keeping us humble and fervent. Can I read on? You're in suspense, huh? Suddenly saw the Lord, who said to me. Now, Jesus can speak in many ways. In this diary, Jesus will communicate often through locutions and visions. Do you know the difference? Locutions means what? An interior voice where he's speaking. You should have also experienced that in your spiritual life too. I do. I don't know about you. You should. All these are mystical touches. If you're coming to perseverance, you're meditating, what we're reading, you should understand it. Otherwise, I question your holy hour. I mean, yeah, we have to be advancing, no? Shouldn't be stultified or stagnant, right? You keep growing. Spiritual life is dynamic, huh? You don't be stagnant. You know, people grow physically, intellectually, culturally. Shouldn't they grow spiritually?
Yes.
Should it be stymied? Should it be spiritual pygmies? No. Spiritual dwarfs? Nietos de enanos in La Vida Espiritual? Nietos de enanos, no, grandchildren of dwarfs. No, come on, let's grow. Who said to me, I saw the Lord who said, and speaks to locutions or visions. Now, you probably know by now, when you have the bold print, what does that mean? See, the bold print in black, that's when Jesus is talking to her directly. And take this seriously. Jesus is speaking. Not biblical. This is approved by the church. Know that if you neglect the matter of the painting of the image and the whole work of mercy, you'll have to answer for a multitude of souls on the day of judgment. Wow. I wanted to jump over that number, man. Wow. Let's just read through it calmly and let's see how God is speaking to us. Know that if you neglect the matter of the painting of the image and the whole work of mercy, you will have to answer for a multitude of souls on the day of judgment. Okay, con fear and trembling, let's try to humbly interpret that. I think all of you have the same message that I have. I think you do. If not, if you spend 5 minutes just reading through that, God's going to speak to you, I think, in a very clear way. If you want, I'll spell it out to you. Okay, God has given Father Broome a mission. I got to carry it out. Right? Obviously going to be different for you because you're not a priest and you're not a religious. It's going to be different. Very different. But I'm given a mission. I'm given a mission and I got to carry it out. I'm almost trembling when I'm reading. So if I carry out my mission, if I carry it out faithfully, a lot of souls are going to be saved. Pray for me. I take this seriously. Okay, I'll say a word or two of how I interpret it. I'm a priest, I'm a religious. I've noticed over the years since I've been here, if I am faithful to the charism of the oblates, God blesses my work. I noticed that. Do you know what our charism is? If I'm faithful, what does charism mean? Charism means a specific spiritual physiognomy that God gives to distinct religious orders. I'm not a Carmelite. I'm not a Jesuit. I'm not a Redemptorist. I'm not a missionary of charity. I'm not speaking down. They're all great orders. I'm an oblate. I'm an oblate. Why do you think, Mary, last night in Yorba Belinda we had 400 people showing up some Thursday night? Now, Vera? Why? Because I, as an oblate priest, I am giving them the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. That's our charism. What is the charism of a priest? The priest is called to do the two P's. The two P's. Do you know, Grace? To pray. I scared you, huh? Okay. We're called to pray. We got to pray. And then we got to preach. The two P's. I'd add a third, penance, too. So if I pray and I preach and I'm giving the people the spiritual exercises, God is going to bless me. He will. Because I'm doing what God wants. I'm where God wants. My intention is good. My intention is not to, for people to applaud or anything like that. My intention is to save souls. You put those three together, it's a winning game. It's a winning game. And if I get up and I try to bring people to the Blessed Mother, God's going to bless me. Why is it the second book that I published? Why is the second book I published? Why is it consecration to Jesus through Mary through the Rosary? Well, why was that book published? Because I'm faithful to my charism. Yeah. The charism of the oblates, our charism gave you people to love Mary, right? So I have a certain grace that you people don't have in that area. Not to say that you people can't promote Marian devotion, or maybe have a greater love than me, or the Blessed Mother, I doubt it though, is that this is part of the charismatic grace that comes from the religious consecration to being an oblate of the Virgin Mary. In other words, it's faithfulness to my identity. Remember back in the 70s, the old cliche, identity crisis, it's still present, right? The modern psychobabble, so to speak. But I think a lot of people have identity crisis. You know who you are. St. James says people get up and marry the look of the mirror, they forget who they look like. Allow this passage to make you feel a little bit uncomfortable tonight. Let it make you feel a little bit uncomfortable. I have come to comfort the afflicted, the afflict the comfortable. If you like that, huh? Yeah. So what is God asking you to do? Even say, for example, within say, for example, the charism of the oblates, we all have a charism within the charism. Father Herbie Alfonso. Father Larry's always quoting Father Herbie Alfonso, the Jesuit priest that gave us a seminar about 20 years ago. We have a charism within the charism, which we have to discover our identity within the charism here at St. Peter Schnell in California in the year 2019. But I wonder how many of you have asked God, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Have you ever asked that question to the Lord? Lord, what do you want me to do with my life to glorify you, to praise you, and to carry out the specific mission you've given to me? You maybe never made that prayer yet. I think you should. I think you should. In humble prayer, beg the Holy Spirit for light. Now, is Saint Faustina, our Lord is really challenging her in this. It's a scary number. The Lord is very firm, and he's challenging her. Are you going to do this or not? He's basically saying. Did it ever happen that you, God was challenging you to do something, and you didn't want to do it? Hello?
Yes.
And you're kind of arm wrestling with the Lord? I used to pretty darn good arm wrestling. Nobody else. arm wrestling. And then, you know, you're maybe battling with this, maybe for a long time, maybe a day, a couple of days. And once you gave in to the Lord, even though it was hard, peace. Peace. You had to struggle. A real struggle. And the arm wrestling, maybe lasted a week. You know, no, Lord, no. Finally, you capitulated. You gave in. And it's almost like there was a wave of peace that descended upon you. And God gave you the grace to carry out what you thought was almost impossible to carry out. God is never going to ask you to do something that is impossible. Honestly, I thought this morning I was not going to get through this morning. I was thinking. Because I had all these gender confessions. The other priest had to go for a funeral. Basically, I had all these gender confessions upon me. I didn't sleep much last night. But then when I was praying, the Lord's saying, I'll give you the grace. I'm still alive, right? I think I am. I know this is going to be a blistering day. And the bad spirit was saying, you're not going to get through today. You're not going to get through it. You know, it's too much. You know, he's trying to discourage me, trying to trip me. But I know that's the work of the devil. So I was just the agio de contra, no? Agio de contra. Nope. So God is never going to ask me or you to do anything that he's not going to give you the commensurate or corresponding sufficient graces to carry that out. What did Jesus say to St. Paul? My grace is sufficient, right? Take this thorn out of my back. You'll be proud, no? My grace is sufficient. So, in other words, hey, don't stay where you're at. Don't stay where you're at. Remember Father Manini in Rome when I was a theologian, he said, it's kind of a funny example, he said, those who are leaning on the wall are never going to go forward, no? No, I was about to be ordained a deacon. If you're leaning on the wall, you're never going to go forward. You got to get off the wall. You can't rely upon the wall. You got to detach yourself from the wall and keep climbing. Saint Bernard, not the dog, but the. If there was a dog, Saint Bernard, right? Saint Bernard, the mellifluous doctor. I gave that as a gift to my brother Mike, whose birthday was 2 days ago. The sermons of the mellifluous doctor, my brother likes to read, like Dr. Dan. He said that it's much more difficult to find a person going from good to saintliness than from a sinner to be converted to grace. Saint Bernard. And Father Thomas Dubé has commented on that more than once. I repeat, much more difficult to find someone who's going from good to better than to find someone being converted from a life of sin to a life of grace. And you know, if you think about that, that's true. Right, Eric? It's true. Because all of us, hey, face it, don't get angry at me, we can become complacent. We can become complacent. I'm a good person. I go to church, I say my prayer. Oh, I go to Perseverance on Friday night. Oh, I'm a good person. I'm really holy. I got a halo, got to brush it off a little bit, dust it off a little bit, but I'm a holy person. Oh. Phil Rizzuto, holy cow. Remember him? The scooter? The enemy of the best is good. We have to go beyond the good. Remember the rich young man? Remember him? What happened with him? What? The rich young man, he was good, but it was not good enough. God wanted him to become a saint. Yes. Was not good enough. Good is not enough for God. God wants greatness. I was telling Mary in one of the talks the other day, I think it was a talk I gave yesterday, the scene in the chariots of fire. No, but do you remember the address that the headmaster gave to the men in Oxford? It was a short address, but he says basically this. He said, "You're the best of England, Scotland, and Wales. You're the greatest. You're the future." And he said this, "All of you are called to greatness. Find wherein your greatness lies and pursue it with all your heart." I love that. That's the point here. I repeat, all of you are called to greatness, not to mediocrity. Not mediocrity or lukewarmness. All of you are called to greatness. Find wherein your greatness lies and pursue it with all your heart. That's the point. Find wherein your greatness lies. You all have greatness latent within you. Pursue it with all your heart. As Aristotle says, potency in act. We all have potentiality. We have to activate it. Potency. We all have latent potentiality, a spiritual energy within us that's ready to be detonated. That's why I'm here, to try to detonate it. So they will explode. They'll be able to radiate. Uranium, huh? Radiate. That on others. No? That's a call of the king, isn't it? Call of the king. I think the biggest malady in the modern world are just mediocre Catholics. Mediocre Catholics. Catholic Church is a sleeping giant. It is. 1.1 billion. That's a lot, isn't it? It's a sleeping giant. Therefore, I think the exercise is a call to wake up that giant. Huh? Wake up that sleeping giant. So what Jesus is saying to Faustina and all of us, many souls are relying upon you becoming a great saint. Amen? Many souls rely upon us collaborating with God's grace. Many. We can say yes to God, many souls will be saved. Do you believe it? It's true. Let's read on a little bit. Are you quaking in your boots? After these, it says worlds, but it should be words, right? After the words, well, there's worlds of material in those words, right? After these words of our Lord, a certain fear filled my soul. Me too. Certain fear filled my soul. An alarm took hold of me. Wow. So fear to alarm. You know what that is? Almost like penetrated, no? Almost paralyzed with fear. Try as I would, I could not calm myself. These words kept resounding. These words kept resounding in my ears. So what happened was the Holy Spirit was repeating those words so that, in other words, Jesus was not letting her off the hook. It's happened to you, you had an inspiration, you kind of, a little bit later, and coming back a little bit later. Remember the example I gave you from Jacques Philippe, School of the Holy Spirit, coming back from a retreat. He's exhausted. He wants to go to bed. Hears interior voice, come and visit me in the Blessed Sacrament. Mañana, tomorrow morning. Mañana, huh? So after some insistence, he decides to make a short visit to the Blessed Sacrament to greet the Lord. Short visit, maybe a couple minutes. He goes back to his room and has a wonderful sleep. What would happen if he were to have resisted that invitation? Tossing and turning the whole night and getting up with tomato eyes, huh? Bloodshot eyes, huh? Like saucers. Huh? It was just a matter of saying yes to that inspiration. You know the dynamic of grace? The more we say yes to grace, the more grace we get. Then we live a mystical life where basically God is doing the work. We just say yes. Wind in your sails. As the saying is, man, viento en popa. Wind in your sails. Read on. These words kept resounding in my ears. So I will not only have to answer for myself on the day of Judgment Day, but also for the souls of others. Do you think your children rely upon you? Any parents here? Do they rely upon you? You got kids? They rely upon you. Are you a bridge or a barrier to heaven? Uh-oh, tough question, huh? Hello? Is there a difference between a bridge and a barrier? They both begin with B, huh? What does a bridge do? Connects. How about a barrier? Blocks, huh? Hopefully we're not barriers, but we're bridges. We're going to be bridges. Golden State Bridge. George Washington Bridge, huh? Two bridges that connect. Or human bridges, human ladders, by which a loved one should be climbing and crossing from this world to the next. Amen? Amen. These words cut deep into my heart. Now in your prayer, in your holy hour, St. Ignatius, you all of you have spiritual directors by now. In your holy hour, if it happens, there's nothing that's happening. There's no consolation or desolation. There's no movement. Good spiritual director can say, are you really praying well or not? There should be some movement. And the best example is what I just read. These words cut deep into my heart. There's movement there, huh? All my violent movement, the Holy Spirit is going in, and he's cutting. He's cutting away her resistance. That's what he's doing. Like a sharp knife. Cutting away the resistance. Would you be courageous enough to ask the Lord, Lord, cut away the resistance in my heart? Even though it's painful? You don't like this talk, do you? Some of these passages, they're challenging, no? God doesn't want us to be mediocre, does he, no? Or lukewarm or tepid, no? Keep moving on. Keep climbing. You fall, get up. Don't stay where you're at. Don't keep going around in circles like a dog running after his tail. Woof, woof, woof. We had a dog in Chile, we called him Psicopata. Psychopath, we called him. You know Spanish for Psicopata, psychopath. Because he would jump and try to catch invisible birds. And then he'd be running after his tail. Woof, 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 woof. Going around about 2 minutes, trying to get his tail, and he never got his tail, you know? I wonder if we have the psychopata syndrome in our life, you know? The Israelites could have crossed that desert in 40 days. It took them 40 years. Fulton Sheen comments on that. They're going around in circles, you know? Do you go around in circles in your spiritual life? Maybe a little bit, huh? We should be, as the saints meant, in the flecha derecha, straight arrow, huh? Let's read on a little bit more. Ken, but we're probably going to be in bed tonight. You're going to have an earthquake. Nothing's going to knock you out of bed. When I returned home, I went to the little Jesus. Who's that? Jesus in the tabernacle, the little Jesus. Fell on my face before the Blessed Sacrament and said to the Lord. You ever hear the story of John Paul II when he was just elected Pope and they were trying to find him? They couldn't seem to find him, and Monsignor Noé, who was his master of ceremonies, said, "Well, you know, did you look for the Holy Father in the chapel?" "Yeah, I went in the garden, I went in the library, I went in the kitchen. I couldn't find him." He said, "Go back and look for him again." "Where?" "In the chapel." "Well, I already looked there." "Well, look again." So they went in the chapel. And what they saw was the Holy Father, John Paul II, prostrate on the ground there in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Prostrate. The way the children of Fatima learned how to pray by the angel, right? Prostrate. Like Jesus in the garden, right? It says, Abram prostrated himself before God, then God spoke to him. How about the three kings? What do? They prostrate themselves and they offered gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? And here's her prayer. Fell on my face before the Blessed Sacrament and said to the Lord, I will do everything in my power. Could you say that? Los Hermanos. I will do everything in my power, but I beg you be always with me and give me strength to do your holy will. What a beautiful prayer. What a beautiful prayer. I'll do everything in my power, but then right away, an act of humility, but I beg you to be always with me and give me strength to do your holy will. You can do it if you rely upon God's strength. You can. Paul says, when I'm strong, then I'm weak. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. If God is with us, who can? The Lord is my shepherd, there is not self-reliance, but God-reliance. Amen? For you can do what? For you can do everything. Well, I can do nothing of myself. So what do you think about this number? It's challenging, isn't it? This is a very challenging number, but I think God is challenging all of us to really live out this Lent to the fullest. God is calling us to become great saints. Amen?
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among them, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. I'd like to ask all of your prayers. Tomorrow I'm going to Houston. Houston, you know where that is?
Yes.
Not to watch the Astros game, okay, but to give a mission. So I'm thinking about starting off when I give the mission saying, by the way, you people in Houston, I'm Father Broom, I'm a Yankee fan. Should I start off that way? By the way, they won yesterday, just by the way. Okay. Okay, God bless you, and so say a prayer for me, okay?